This is Jordan Seculo. Today on J Seculo Live, the House Judiciary Committee preparing subpoenas for Bruce Orr, the former number four at the Department of Justice, still there in the head of a division. His wife, Nellie Orr from Fusion GPS, and her boss at Fusion GPS, Glenn Simpson.
Live from Washington, D.C., J Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Now, I'll say this. The media loves to say the president is not above the law, neither the investigators. And when the investigators start being investigated in the special counsel's office, Peter Strzok, who was let go by the special counsel's office now, yeah, but is still being paid, by the way, by all of us as he sits in the HR department of the FBI. The number four at the Department of Justice gets demoted from his assistant, deputy assistant attorney general position, but still getting paid by all of us. And so we are focusing again today on more breaking news in the matter of the investigators who have been leading what led to the beginning of the FBI opening a counterintelligence investigation into the Trump campaign and Russia. And then ultimately that investigation, I think with that icing on the cake, as I said yesterday, from Jim Comey releasing a supposed conversation with the president's notes through his law professor friend to the New York Times and other media outlets that led to the special counsel. I think you put that all together, you could see why that was probably the icing on the cake, but heading that way and using the same investigators. He brought Peter Strzok right in from counterintelligence at FBI to be the lead investigator from the FBI inside. That ultimately had to let him go because of his commentary on the president. But now I think it's actually getting worse than just his commentary on the president, because we have now know and yesterday we reported this extensively. I would encourage you, if you missed yesterday's broadcast, and we've got it up on our Facebook pages, we went through kind of how this investigation with John Solomon from The Hill got up. How is it moving? How did it start? I mean, from kind of point A to point B. And what we've discussed yesterday was that Peter Strzok was using Bruce Orr at the Department of Justice to get to Christopher Steele after Christopher Steele was fired and told in his separation agreement, which I'm holding his hand, is firing with the FBI, to no longer do any research on behalf of the FBI and provide them with any information. Second, remember this from John Solomon from The Hill yesterday. He kind of broke this on our broadcast about what was coming today in the news. And we're going to focus on this as well. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. What's the significance of these subpoenas? And by the way, the Department of Justice, this is not just a report, has confirmed to the extent that they have been notified about these interview requests from the House Judiciary Committee. So this is not just something being heard on The Hill. It has been confirmed by the spokesperson of the Department of Justice. Take a listen to John Solomon, investigative reporter for The Hill, yesterday on our broadcast live.
I'm going to have a story that will move the ball forward a lot about a contact between Bruce Orr and Glenn Simpson that will open a lot of people's eyes. It's right after the election. Donald Trump has won. The FBI has fired Steele. This should all be over with, right? They've moved on from the dossier and Steele. And here is Glenn Simpson meeting again with Bruce Orr. And this conversation, which is captured in handwritten notes, is one you're going to want to see. It really opens our eyes to what was going on. It really shines light on the fact that there was a last-minute effort before the election was over to get Trump defeated using this information. And then there's an exchange of information to the Justice Department that is not the sort of way that counterintelligence information is normally gathered. I think when people see that, they'll get a little better sense of all of this shenanigans that were going on the sidelines of what should have been a serious counterintelligence investigation.
Understand, now the report is out. Came out last night. I retweeted for people. Make sure, so if you're at twitter.com/JordanSec, you can see the report. We're going to get into it extensively. Let me note this. When Glenn Simpson met with Bruce Orr, this is after the election, December 10th, 2016. Guess what happened a month later? After he was given a memory stick. January 10th, 2017, Peter Strzok opens up the FBI counterintelligence investigation. I mean, this is, again, I think that it's important to know all of this information. I mean, a month later, the dossier leaked. The investigation was going. The dossier leaked. So we're going to get into all this when we come back.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. So we just played for folks John Solomon from The Hill. We were discussing yesterday these conversations between Christopher Steele, who was led to believe pretty much the author who put together the dossier, which even Jim Comey called salacious and unverified. So, I mean, even he, who was obviously no fan of the president and leaking all of his information when he was under oath before Congress, had to tell that he did. I do believe he told the truth. I mean, it is salacious and unverified. And by the way, based on Bruce Orr's notes now that we have, because John Solomon has reported what he said he would yesterday on the broadcast later in the evening yesterday, that in those notes, Glenn Simpson admitted that this was based off people who weren't even in Russia, maybe Russians who were in the United States who disappeared, okay? That obviously being shared around the media has confirmed this, and trying to get some news outlet to report it. They were not successful, by the way, in getting any leak there until after the election. But what they did do was a Hail Mary move. A Hail Mary leak is the exact term used from Glenn Simpson is running Christopher Steele, the former spy, tells Bruce Orr this at the Department of Justice, that he asked Steele to talk with Mother Jones reporter David Korn. And most of you may not be familiar with him unless you watch Hardball on MSNBC. This is the left of the left of the left. So this is the only outlet they could find. I mean, this is if you were trying to impact an election, this was, I think, more than a Hail Mary. I mean, because even a lot of liberals think that, you know, Mother Jones' commentary is even anti-mainstream Democrat. So it's not past partisanship in a sense. And then just a week before the election, David Korn was the first person to have any definitive allegations and possible ties between the Trump campaign and Moscow. So we know that Christopher Steele was then directed for that leak. He got fired for that from the FBI. But the meeting with Glenn Simpson occurs after, right around, they continue the relationship with Christopher Steele after he's fired through Bruce Orr at the Department of Justice. And remember, on yesterday's broadcast, this was just in last summer, just a little bit more than a month ago, Christopher Steele is texting Bruce Orr through WhatsApp thinking they're real smart about their encrypted messaging, except for when the Department of Justice seizes your phone as an employee, that doesn't really matter because it's on, the data is there. Hi, Bruce. Hope you're well and getting some holiday with the family. I would like to chat. There's a lot going on. We're frustrated with how long this re-engagement, and it says we, with the Bureau and Mueller is taking. So we now know, and then Bruce Orr replies, let's do a phone call. So we know, and John Solomon discussed this yesterday, that there was an attempt for Christopher Steele to come back into the FBI on the payroll, or even Bob Mueller's team. And John Solomon, and again, this is where the knowledge is coming from. I'm based this all on his reporting, has not been able with the special counsel's office to get even like just to kind of, I think, quash the question that it would be out there about this, which you would think that they would like to do if they could, about whether or not he was ever on the payroll again, or two, how much contact there has been, if any, with Christopher Steele, who is kind of this, again, figure that was really being run by Glenn Simpson. You go through the report, and we'll go through it step by step, but 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Let's take a phone call first, and then we'll start walking through this piece by piece because I think that it's important to do with these stories. By the way, as subpoenas now loom for Bruce Orr and Nellie Orr and Glenn Simpson from the House Judiciary Committee, which I think is a moment. Again, and the Department of Justice has confirmed the interview requests are being made. So this is real time happening. That's why we're discussing it on the broadcast. 1-800-684-3110. Later on today, by the way, for everybody listening right now out there, my dad and Mayor Giuliani are going to be hosting Sean Hannity's entire radio broadcast. Again, so getting into these issues, some of us from our team here on Jay Sekulow Live will also be appearing on the Sean Hannity radio broadcast. This is, I know Sean tweeted about it. It's actually made news, kind of like in our broadcast earlier this week, that this is happening, and that's even a longer format than we have on Jay Sekulow Live in the sense of the three-hour broadcast. So you don't want to miss that as well. I know a lot of you tune into Sean Hannity's program. You check your local listings. There's some time differences there. But Sean tweeted out this morning, and it's even picked up in news outlets that is going to occur later on this afternoon on Sean Hannity's radio show. So you don't miss that. And and Mayor Giuliani with my dad hosting Sean Hannity's radio show. 1-800-684-3110. Let's get right to the phones as we walk through this. Steven in California online too. Steven, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Jordan, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Steven.
Just want to say that, I think that this is a travesty overall. I think that, with the whole shenanigans that are going on with both parties, because, everybody tells a lie and everybody tells the truth. And I think both parties are at fault here. I think that DT, Donald Trump, is doing somewhat of a good job here. However, I think that his son did know about the meeting. And I believe that where we're at right now is another.
We know that. I mean, he put out his emails out. He didn't hide. He didn't even hide that from us. I don't want to get into that, but more specifically than what's public. But I mean, Donald Trump Jr. put out the emails acknowledging that. So I think that it's not one side. You can never compare one, the prosecuting side or a special counsel side, to the other side. And what I think has been unique here is that the investigators leading this, and I'll go to Andy first. In the U.S. Attorney's offices. They're not surviving the scrutiny. It's been so overwhelming. They're getting demoted. They're getting put into FBI counterintelligence lead investigators are being put into HR, people that they really relied on probably for other matters as well that would be important to our country. But politics got in the way of their decision making. I mean, so when the light, they put so much light on President Trump because he is a popular figure, gets a lot of ratings in the news. But when the light gets shown on them, I mean, not many of them have been able to get through this without serious doubts being cast about their judgment.
Well, I know. I mean, look at what happened to McCabe. That McCabe gets eventually fired by Jeff Sessions. But these investigators have become the investigated, and they need to be because of the things that they have done. The FBI is in turmoil, and I don't know what Christopher Wray can possibly do to rectify that situation. The DOJ, for which I worked for 5 years as an assistant U.S. attorney, is in disarray, and I'm very sorry to see that. People like Bruce Orr, who participated in what I think is undermining an investigation by bringing in the Steele and colluding with him, because that's exactly what he did. I mean, they're talking on August the 6th of 2017, and Bruce Orr is saying, rather Steele, the British spy, is saying to Bruce, I would like to a chat. There's a lot going on, and we're frustrated in how long this re-engagement with the Bureau and Mueller is taking. In other words, he's coming back in, and he wants to know from Bruce when he can come in.
I think, you know, Harry, some of this can be a motivating factor, economics. Obviously, Bruce Orr's wife was getting paid by Fusion GPS. Christopher Steele wanted to get paid. But there were obviously these personal relationships. So even after the election, they throw their Hail Mary. Doesn't work. Donald Trump wins historically across states that have not been won by Democrats since as long as I can remember, by Republicans as long as I can remember. And yet they don't give up. So a month later, after the election, they're sitting together one-on-one. They've now bypassed just working even through Christopher Steele. Literally, you've got the number four DOJ at that time. Steele's got his deputy assistant attorney general position, Harry. And he's meeting with the head of an opposition research firm that his wife's contracted for and getting memory sticks from him.
Absolutely. So it's important to set this baseline up first. Bruce Orr has sworn to uphold the laws of the United States. Instead of upholding the laws of the United States, he has engaged, arguably, in perverting the course of justice by advancing a salacious and unverified story that is grounded in hearsay upon hearsay upon hearsay. There is no one with direct knowledge of the alleged events in Russia who has come forward. So it's important to note that. And so here you have Bruce Orr, a senior official in the Department of Justice, advancing a narrative both for political purposes, in my opinion, and also to pad his family's bank account. That's outrageous.
I will tell you this coming up, too. If you did not tune into Fox and Friends this morning, my dad was on live on the set with all three hosts of Fox and Friends and got into some more details about the response from the president's legal team to the special counsel's office. So when we come back, I want to play some of those clips as well and address that. 1-800-684-3110. I think letting him address it directly through those clips is the best way to do it. 1-800-684-3110. Though we do want to take your questions about this. I mean, every single day, we're learning more and more about the collaboration, you know, that meeting in Andy's office, this idea of how do we take down this president. Now he won, so our work didn't work at first. How do we take him down? They get their special counsel ultimately, and we find out the count.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Ekman writes in on Periscope, "I'm sure the mainstream media and Democrats will gloss over this information." I think Democrats certainly, because it's kind of showing, but we didn't get to this a lot yesterday, but who was financing this could very well have been a Russian oligarch. So that has also been reported in the news extensively, that they believe that a Russian oligarch was behind the dossier payments. So who could have also been funding and passing along phony information? And we now know that even Glenn Simpson admitted to a number four Department of Justice who he knew was sitting down with, taking notes, by the way, in front of Glenn Simpson on paper. And those notes have now been received by media outlets and John Solomon, who joined us yesterday on the broadcast, taking notes, admitting that they weren't even getting Russian information from Russians in Russia. That supposedly it was Russians in the U.S. that they can no longer find. They disappeared. They admit the Hail Mary attempt to try and get this information out about a week before the election. They only could find Mother Jones to do it and David Corn. That is, folks, I mean, it's like getting the Village Voice to run something. I mean, maybe for people who are not as familiar with David Corn or Mother Jones, but remember that publication. I mean, that's not reaching the general electorate, to say the least, and it's not even reaching the base of the Democrat Party. So that's all they could find to even get out any of this kind of info. But I will say that a month after their meeting, while Bruce Orr is taking the notes and gets a memory stick, which he writes down in his notes, from Glenn Simpson, a month later, the dossier leaks. Now, we know the dossier was floating around over time. We don't know how long. But we do know it was floating around. So finally, BuzzFeed is the outlet that ends up leaking it. But I mean, it's memory sticks being involved. These from I've come out of the campaign world. The opposition research firms aren't unusual. What is unusual is opposition research firms passing along memory sticks to number fours of the Department of Justice ever. Usually that world would not want to be involved with that world. It's two very separate places. I mean, one is doing opposition research, paid gun for hire. And again, that's the campaign world. It shed some light on that. But they don't – I've never seen this issue where they would then, post-election, continue pushing a narrative. Because what campaign's paying them at that point? There is no more Hillary Clinton campaign. And so somebody else was behind it. I mean, we know. Was it the Russians to continue into the process of not backing one candidate in this, but trying to, again, kind of muddy the waters in the United States and these officials that may have been? I mean, no one's again, you saw the sanctions put on Russia again yesterday. I mean, it's we know there are serious issues there with our infrastructure. There's security, cybersecurity concerns. But I do want to take phone calls, so let's get to some of those. 1-800-684-3110. If you've got questions about this, again, we have not focused on Russia extensively in the broadcast for months. You know, occasionally gone to it. But as you can realize now, this is just in the news so much. And as a news provider and outlet for you, the opportunity to ask questions about it in a format that isn't 3 minutes long is unique. So if you want to get your questions in now, this is a great time. 1-800-684-3110. A couple lines are open. Let's go to Raj in Virginia on line one. Hey, Raj, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Well, thank you. You are doing an excellent job.
Thank you, Raj.
With all the details you brought into focus and to play upon this very important subject. And while Jay and the team are doing all that with on the Sean Hannity show with Rudy Giuliani, there's one point which needs to be addressed. Remember Haman, who had that gallows built?
Yeah.
And what did he have it built on? Okay. In this case, they've built this case on collusion and foisted it upon President Trump, whereas they have been involved in the perversion, as was pointed out by our dear friend even a few minutes ago. They perverted it, but why have we not pointed our fingers at not just the obstruction of justice, but the gross miscarriage of justice caused by their witness tampering, caused by their evidence tampering, and doing all these under the guise of counterintelligence.
Well, I think, Raj, I appreciate your phone calls, your kind words as well. I think, you know, the bureaucracy is very hard. There's, you know, people have gotten demoted. I think Bruce Orr not far enough, by the way. I mean, we talked about that on the broadcast yesterday. Harry, you mentioned too, you have this like number four Department of Justice. You take away his one title, which is his most important title, Assistant Deputy Attorney General. At the same time, he's still the head of an entire division of the Department of Justice, which means he is very senior with access to a lot of his is drug enforcement, but that would involve still a lot of counterintelligence that kind of, you know, investigation because it would include what's going on around the world.
It would, but I think it is clear, at least up to this point, that he had no
right.
counterintelligence role with respect to Russian collusion.
No.
Instead, the evidence points directly back at Bruce Orr, Glenn Simpson, and Christopher Steele. They were engaged in a collusive effort to essentially make up claims with respect to an opposing political candidate. So initially, it was financed by the DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign, but then they continued this effort after President Trump won the election, and they continued this in part, I think, for political purposes, but it's also possible that they continued it in order to earn more money. Keep in mind that Christopher Steele was fired by the FBI, yet Bruce Orr continued to rely upon him. He allowed himself to become a conduit for Christopher Steele after Christopher Steele was terminated by the FBI. So clearly, we have a problem in the Department of Justice, which needs to be addressed immediately by the Attorney General.
Folks, we are going into our second half hour of the broadcast right now, and I want to take your phone calls for Jesse out in California. We will get to your phone call as quickly as we return. In fact, let's take Jesse's call now. I think we got time to address this one before we hit the next half hour. Jesse, thanks for holding on. You are on the air.
Hey, Jordan. I'm like an average American.
Yeah.
And we've been listening to this stuff for over a year now. And my question is very simple, and I appreciate what you've been doing. Is this whole congressional investigation necessary, and why?
Well, I'll ask you this, Jesse. I don't know your political leanings. Are you someone who's got this is behind this idea of draining the swamp, getting rid of these bureaucratic abusers of power?
Okay, I'm not like a regular political type
but,
person.
But I mean, this idea. Okay, so but like the idea of like these people abusing power. This is the only way you're going to get to it. I mean, they are the investigators. They're not going to investigate themselves. So that's why you have oversight by Congress. Now, that being said, I think a lot of this can be taken down a notch and continue without the kind of coverage and the focus in our media. Once this is that the situation involving the president and the special counsel's team moves on. Because then I think that these congressional investigations should continue to get rid of the bad bureaucrats, but it doesn't have to take up so much of our time. So I get where you're coming from, but I think we're at a point where you cannot let them get away with this. You can't let up because, oh, we're tired about it. Investigations like that, to drain the swamp, to clear up the bureaucracy takes a long time. We will be right back, second half hour coming up.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Thanks for joining us. Our second half hour, Jay Sekulow Live. Just to note, important later on this afternoon, it has become a news story. I think it was earlier this week, my dad said, when you become the news and you get the news, I mean, we're going to address it. You know, it's the fact that my dad and Sean Hannity, so Jay Sekulow and Sean and Rudy Giuliani, will be hosting Sean Hannity's radio broadcast. Some of us will be joining that today live. Is become a news story, actually, being reported. It's been tweeted out by Sean. I retweeted that out as well. I think my dad's got a tweet out. Is that out already or coming out? People know. Of course, you got to check your local listings, and sometimes our show's running at some different times during the day as well. But they are actually going to be hosting that together. My dad, Jay Sekulow, and Mayor, former Mayor Rudy Giuliani, both kind of the two folks, the senior folks on the president's legal team. So they'll be hosting that the full broadcast of Sean Hannity's radio broadcast today. So you don't want to miss that. We are talking about the latest information being reported. One, it appears that Bruce Orr, Nelly Orr, and Glenn Simpson are not, are finally, Glenn Simpson, who has been pulled before, by the way, to have to testify, but no indication Bruce Orr, even behind the scenes, or his wife, Nelly Orr, have had to be, that subpoenas could be coming from the House Judiciary Committee if they don't comply with the interview request, which the Department of Justice has confirmed. So though some are out there and it says report, but the Department of Justice has confirmed that the interview requests have been made. So the requests have been made, and if they're not complying, subpoena. They can. I'm not sure in Glenn Simpson's case, because he's already testified, whether or not he can just take this broad Fifth Amendment. You know, I'm not sure he could. Could Bruce Orr, could Nelly Orr, you know, obviously you get into those issues. Will it be a public hearing, or is it because of these counterintelligence issues, one that's close to the public? We don't know yet. But what we do know is that I think a lot, because driving the media narrative now is how involved Bruce Orr was, past just having the conflict of his wife there at the Democrat paid for, Hillary Clinton campaign for, DNC paid for, dossier firm, Fusion GPS, but how close they were with Christopher Steele. They talk about their favorite business tycoon, which I believe, and a lot of people believe, is a Russian oligarch. So we see that Russians paying for a dossier. Well, I thought we were told by the media the Russians wanted Donald Trump to win. What would they be doing trying to shop around this dossier leading up to the election? And they can only find, by the way, Mother Jones to even report any of this. And then the full dossier leaks after the election, which I think, and the only place they could find to do that is BuzzFeed. No offense to BuzzFeed, but it's quizzes mostly with a small political department. And again, they get a lot of clicks and things, but they could not find a mainstream outlet, you know, the major mainstream news outlets to even put it out, because it is Jim Comey, who I don't often quote and agree with, said it was so salacious and unverified that it was unusable. Except for, it appears it was utilized to get FISA warrants on Americans. So it may have been unusable by the media, which that's quite a statement that the media was saying that how far left it is, that they were not going there, but that the FBI and Department of Justice, it appears, were utilizing the same information to get warrants to spy on the Americans. And so I think that's very important as we discuss this on the broadcast today. I want to take your phone calls on this. I mean, there's a lot of information here to unpack. What's on this memory stick given from the head of Fusion GPS to the number 4, Assistant Deputy Attorney General of the United States at the time? The dossier leaks a month to the day that memory stick was given to him. These are in Bruce Orr's actual notes. And by the way, still he's the head of a division of the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C. So what happened with the memory stick? How was it relied on by the FBI? Was it utilized by FISA? What do you think? I'd like your thoughts. I mean, these questions haven't been answered. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll take your comments from Facebook and Periscope as well, but I encourage you to call into the broadcast at 1-800-684-3110. And remember, later on today, Sean Hannity's radio broadcast will be hosted by my dad, Jay Sekulow, and Mayor Rudy Giuliani. So the president's top two attorneys on this issue. And we will, again, so you want to tune into that as well. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. If you missed my dad on Fox & Friends this morning, do we have the soundbite on specifically getting to the kind of the sharing a little bit more light on not accepting the offer, the issues there, and then in the counter offer. Let's play this because I like, you know, my dad is one of the lead attorneys on this matter. And so when he's speaking, I think that hearing it from him directly is best on the radio broadcast. He's on Fox & Friends this morning. He's co-hosting Sean Hannity's radio broadcast later today with Mayor Giuliani. But take a listen.
They gave us an offer, which obviously it's pretty clear now we did not accept their offer. We countered. This is how this works. If you look at this historically, this is the way the back and forth goes on these. We've pointed out the irregularities in this investigation. I mean, the biggest news of late has been the whole Bruce Orr situation. Mm-hmm. She had the number four at the United States Department of Justice. The number four. His wife happens to work for Fusion GPS, who happens to be retained to put together the dossier with Chris Steele.
I want to go to Andy Economy on this again, because, Andy, I think you get to these heart of these investigations. I mean, usually, even with one that's so politicized, I mean, think about Hillary Clinton's. There was a lot of criticism. She was not under oath. She was no longer even the Secretary of State at that point. She was not the President of the United States. She doesn't go under oath. The way that all of her lawyers who were also being investigated got immunity, but were allowed to sit in on the interview as her lawyers, who were also immunized from the discussion. I mean, irregularities, but in a way that was benefiting the person being investigated, and even those, I don't even think come close to what we found out about this investigation.
No, I mean, Hillary Clinton was given a pass because everyone at the Justice Department and in the FBI who were partisans of hers believed that she was going to be elected president, so they were going to give her a pass. They gave immunity to a bunch of people, and then they didn't even interview those people before they pronounced, as you remember, through the great mystic Jim Comey, that she was not going to be prosecuted for anything, and then Loretta Lynch simply rubber-stamped that. But these investigations, I think, need to continue, and the fact that Bruce Orr, as Jay pointed out, Bruce Orr is talking to Chris Steele, the spy who was working for Fusion GPS, 3 months after the Mueller investigation began. And Bruce and Steele says to him, "Hi, Bruce, hope you're well and getting some holiday with family. Whenever convenient, I would like a chat. There's a lot going on, and we are frustrated with how long this is important, folks. This re-engagement with the Bureau and Mueller is taking. What Steele is saying to Bruce Orr, number four at the Justice Department, still there is, I'm trying to get back in with the FBI from which I have been Barred, and I want to get on with Mueller, and I'm disgusted at how long it's taking. And what does he say? Because there is some new perishable operational opportunities which we don't want to miss out on. What? To torpedo the president. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's all about. And because why else would he want to be involved with the Mueller team? I mean, that the special counsel's team, it wasn't like he wanted just a contract back with the FBI to be some kind of source on lots of different information. He wanted it specifically with Mueller and that team. Now, here's what we have not yet heard. And again, I mean, maybe at some point they will get this info out for the special counsel's office. But they will not indicate to any of these reporters. And by the way, they have an entire press office with the special counsel's team. They don't say a lot, but they do have a press office. And if they wanted to put this to rest, the idea of what happened after that. So did they ever sit down with Christopher Steele to even think about the possibility of this? Was he retained? I mean, these are pretty things you could put to bed pretty quickly, so but you're leaving it hanging out there, which leads to more questions. Maybe it does get put to bed. I don't know. Again, that is just what the reporters who are, again, talking with people on both sides of these this issue, and they're discussing it. 1-800-684-3110. I think important to point out, Joanne on Periscope just wrote in, it now seems like this whole thing was an illegal sham, and if it's not handled, this will happen again. My dad addressed this directly. The big, you know, go at the 10,000 feet level. Think post President Trump. It's hard to do because there's some, if we feel so divided. You know, they try to say we're all so divided in our country and so partisan. And again, I think that just kind of depends on your own personal experience of where you live in the country. Are you in one of those swing states or not? Are you in a place that's really liberal or really conservative? I mean, everybody's got their own experience with that. But he addressed it because I think the bigger picture has to be understood here when you're talking about representing. Don't just think Donald Trump. Think President of the United States of America. And if he makes a move with this, it sets then the precedent that every president could be treated this way. Take a listen.
The idea that a president could be asked questions about, first of all, his Article II authority, it's counter to the Constitution. I mean, this whole notion that a president should be put in a place, especially in the scope of this investigation, to be questioned about why you took actions against, let's say, the former FBI director or whatever it might be. Here's the problem. The problem is not can the president answer the questions. Of course the president could answer the questions. The question is, should under these circumstances the president answer the questions? And you are now setting a precedent, not just for this president, but for the presidency.
So I think that, you know, that has been addressed. Let me, let's take a phone call now. And remember, we got phone lines open, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Jesse in California, on line one. Jesse, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
How you doing, man? I was wondering, when are they going to start opening investigations to the other side? Because it seems like they're all over Trump and on them on a daily basis, corruption and stuff's coming out. And it's like nothing. And imagine if even a fraction of that was coming out on Trump, it would be like all hell would be breaking loose.
Let me say, Jesse, the reason why this information is coming out is because there are investigations ongoing about these individuals being led by Congress at the moment. Here's the problem with the DOJ or those who would usually the FBI. Investigating themselves, Harry. I mean, that is the issue.
Absolutely.
You think that they're going to pull up investigations to go put themselves in potential criminal liability, even on, you know, or it, at a minimum losing their jobs, so losing and potentially pensions like Andrew McCabe. Now there is a there is also the Inspector General who really led a lot of that. What happened to Andrew McCabe is investigating this. Those reports do take time, so there is an Inspector General independent. At the same time, we've discussed the potential need for an actual special counsel to look into this. And I will tell you, if once we move past this Mueller-Trump issue, a special counsel in that matter investigating these kind of officials will not dominate all of our time in the media. It's not gonna, it's just something that could be done and is without us all feeling like this is all that gets talked about.
Absolutely. So I think it's necessary for these individuals who have been engaging in massive improprieties at the DOJ and the FBI to be subject ultimately to criminal penalties. So here we have Bruce Orr, the number four at the DOJ, acting as an undercover agent, if you will, for Fusion GPS, which was bought and paid for by the DNC and possibly by a Russian oligarch. Bruce Orr continued to work with Christopher Steele after Steele was fired. So the questions become, did Steele's information leak, for instance, to the special counsel's team? Did Sally Yates, Bruce Orr's boss, sign a FISA warrant based on information gleaned by Bruce Orr while his wife, Nellie, worked at Fusion GPS, which initially contracted with Christopher Steele? Was there a collusive effort by the DOJ and the FBI to bring down the President of the United States? We need answers to those questions. And one of the ways of accelerating the answering of those questions would simply be to appoint a special counsel to investigate the conduct of Andrew McCabe, Lisa Page, Peter Strzok, and a host of other individuals at the Department of Justice and the FBI.
Luke on Periscope writes in, what is the motivation that Christopher Steele wanted to take down President Trump? That doesn't make sense to me. I think, listen, he was working with those who were partisanly motivated in the U.S. But for Christopher Steele, money, money, money. I mean, this was he's a paid investigator for hire. Now, he was working with the FBI, but also had other clients. He wasn't solely Andy, that was not his only job. He wasn't like full-time with the FBI. Yeah. There's a former MI6 is what's being reported, who gets contracted out to provide info. But it all looks like his real handler, if you will, the real money, may have been coming from a Russian oligarch, because this continues after they lose the election is lost.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, as you say, money, money, money. Steele's out to, you know, get as much money as he possibly can by doing the bidding of the people who hire him. And that's what he does. He's a spy. He knows how the ins and outs of covert intelligence work like this, and he's trying to lure Bruce Orr into getting him now back into the good graces of the FBI, and also back into the good back in with Mueller.
Folks, we've got a final segment coming up, and we will be taking your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. A lot of good calls, a lot of good comments. We're trying to break this down for you, sometimes at the 10,000-feet level, sometimes at the minute level, just getting you the information that's, again, sometimes only gets 5 or 6 minutes on you know, cable news broadcasts, even good friends of our broadcast. And here we have time to really break it down for you to that next step. Because a lot of you ask, what do I tell friends and family? How do I explain this? That's what we're trying to do on these broadcasts the last couple of days. 1-800-684-3110. Call now. If you want to be on the air in that segment, so we've got time to get you through the system. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are about to just start taking phone calls. The phone lines are pretty full right now, but sometimes they'll open up. And this is the time when in this last segment of the broadcast, you still get on the air if you call at 1-800-684-3110. I do want to give an update. President Trump tweeted about this, that Turkey, two cabinet-level officials, the Minister of Justice, the Minister of Interior, were sanctioned by the United States government because of the continued captivity. Now, house arrest, but, you know, it's nearly 2 years of imprisonment and still a house arrest situation for American pastor Andrew Brunson. Today, President Trump announced an increase in some tariffs up to 50% on Turkey. It's led to their currency to drop another 10%. Even the headlines of Drudge have, you know, a picture of Erdogan, who is a pretty tough strongman with his hands on his head. That is the economic situation. The president has not directly tied that to Andrew Brunson. In his statements, tariffs are different than sanctions. And that is something, again, because it just happened this morning, not too long before we're on the broadcast. We're going to work on and then I think bring you more information about that. But continue to pray on that situation and follow Andrew Brunson's, again, still not freed. Better to be at his home in Turkey where he spent 23 years and in a house arrest situation than it is to be in a Turkish prison, certainly. But it is still a very volatile. And President Trump said in his tweet, relations with Turkey, not good, exclamation point. I mean, and this is a NATO ally. You know, we're not talking about Iran and North Korea here. We're talking about a NATO ally. Right to the phones we go. Tony in New Jersey online too. Tony, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, how you doing, Jordan?
Hey, Tony.
I really wanted to go along one of the comments made before about by you about the money with Steele. And I always say to myself when I get confused about what's going on in this situation, I always say, follow the money.
Yeah.
And right now, I think the whole situation is Donald Trump came in, he wanted to take down a new world order that has basically been ripping off the United States for decades. And I think every single person you see fighting us, including the media, is all part of that gravy train that does not want it to end.
The globalists. And it started ending with similar movements in the UK. You know, this idea of enough of this. I mean, why are we bailing out these countries when we're having economic issues and we're having, you know, some violence in the streets? And they were dealing with a lot of terrorism earlier before really the U.S. came in and kind of has been able to really rout out ISIS and has stopped a lot of that flow of individuals back. Not to say that's not an issue they're still going to be dealing with in Europe because of the migration patterns that have occurred. But people there voted to say no more. I mean, so it's not just happening here in the United States. I mean, in Italy as well, you had a similar kind of leadership coming into office because people are questioning what are we doing this for when we're hurting so bad economically and we're bailing out some places. Maybe doing worse, but like, isn't your job as the leader of our country to be taking care of your own country first? So I do believe there's that idea that could be broader than just United States politics and globalism. But I do think that ultimately for a Christopher Steele type, he's begging for a job back 6 months later, and he's trying to get it with Bob Mueller. And what we don't know is, did Bruce Orr even – I mean, I think this is relevant to know. Did Bruce Orr even pick up the phone to call the special counsel's office to even ask if they were interested? I mean, with Christopher Steele. I mean, think about just the fact that he already knew. In the Steele termination letter from the FBI, they are told and he signed on to this, Christopher Steele. So I don't know if there's more liability for him as well in how this works. Additionally, this is the quote. Handling agent advised that Christopher Steele was not to operate to obtain any intelligence whatsoever on behalf of the FBI, and he was continuing to do it. And by the way, the FBI was continuing to utilize him. What they did was Peter Strzok, as you know the name, would go to Bruce Orr to go to Christopher Steele, so it wasn't directly Peter Strzok. Peter Strzok ultimately gets caught up, though. We find out about him with these texts. But I honestly believe those texts shed a lot of light on why he may have taken the decisions he made. This is actually, I think, even more compromising for him and potentially more liability that he would knowingly utilize a source that the department, the agency he worked for within the Department of Justice, the FBI, when they broke off the relationship with Christopher Steele for leaking information to the media, said no longer gather intelligence whatsoever is the terminology used on behalf of the FBI, and they were still using it, passing along to DOJ for FISA court warrants on Americans to surveil Americans. Let's go back to the phones. Warren in Illinois on line three. Warren, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi.
Hey, Warren.
I was listening to your show, and it, for a reason, I don't know, but all of a sudden I remembered John F. Kennedy, when he was senator, wrote a book called Portraits and Courage. It was like 89 different senators that had unbelievable courage that saved your nation in a time of crisis. And I thought of Ronald Reagan.
Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
There are things that America needs. It needs more senators that have the courage to stand up to the things. You got guys that are doing it. I'm a Canadian. You got guys that are doing it. But, man, we need a little more courage and leadership. Up in Canada, we got baby Trudeau running the country. No courage at all. So that's all I wanted to say is if people haven't read Portraits and Courage, you might want to, and you'll see the difference between the senators of today and the senators of yesterday.
Well, listen, Washington, I will tell you this. I mean, I lived there for a long time. I spent time inside the campaign world, on Capitol Hill, inside the government. I remember, I'm not going to say anything. I remember a long time ago as an intern at Department of Justice. So I was an undergrad, so I was not even through law school yet. And I just remember one of the political appointees saying, I don't remember the person's name, but like saying, remember, even what we're giving you to do, don't talk to those people who are not part of our team, because they may be trying to take it and give it out to the media. And they were talking about the bureaucrats. And at the time, that was not as big of an issue publicly, but what we've seen. On top of that, the department, the Senate, remember a lot of these senators, Donald Trump, I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat, he's messing up their world. And I don't think that's a bad thing, by the way. But what we have seen is this turnaround to say, I think that plenty of them, even like Lindsey Graham, a good friend, have said, enough is enough with this. I mean, to a point where they may not have been, they've gotten worked with the administration more. But we're willing to go down this road of an investigation only to a point. And they've said, they got no info from what they get, which is different than what we receive, and what it gets reported in the news. And at a point, this has got to be over. Let's try to grab Helen's call really quick. She's in New Jersey, line one. Helen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi.
Yep.
First of all, I want to tell you what a great job you people are doing.
Thank you.
And you're much respected. I just have a question about these FISA judges. The only thing I find troubling is that if I were a judge and I was lied to and I was led astray and my reputation was, in fact, in question, why wouldn't I come out there and
Because your friend was the person who brought the information to you? I mean, that's one of the judges. We know. So Peter Strzok, one of those FISA judges, were still, they were... And there were conversations about that between Peter Page and Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. So more compromising would be that you were having that relationship continue and even information being exchanged. It's a great broadcast today. Again, Sean Hannity's radio broadcast will be hosted by my dad and Rudy Giuliani. Don't miss that later today. We'll talk to you next week.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, acLJ.org.